Hey everybody, and welcome back to From Complex to Queens, Amazing Anthony's Modern Podcast. I'm Steve Seifer, and I'm joined this week by Lucas Vlahos and Ken Levin and Thomas Henderson. How you guys doing?
Boy, I'm glad that insert team and edit later won the Super Bowl.
I know, right? Like that was a crazy game yesterday, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, obviously this is a baseball podcast, not a football one, so we're gonna leave it at that. That's the end of our Super Bowl content.
Football, fucking football, god damn it.
Insert the Juan Uribe quote here.
If you want more coverage of the Super Bowl, you can check out our football community, Cincy Jungle, which is the Bengals one, and Turf Showtimes, which is the Rams community. But regardless of all the stuff that happened in the game yesterday, obviously the greatest individual play in Super Bowl history is that Eli throw to Tyree in 2007. Right, Lucas?
I mean, I should be annoyed by this, but I just don't care about football enough. I'm like, yeah, that sucked. I was a Patriot fan. I don't care. Football has always been just a distraction until baseball starts again for me.
Exactly. Same. But in honor of the Super Bowl happening, and of course, you know, Eli to Tyree. What individual World Series plays are we going to promote, extend, or trade?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
So, and I tried to be very diverse here because, I mean, it's like, well, three walk-off home runs, like, well, whatever. So, first one up is Game 1 of the 1954 World Series, Giants versus Indians, and the Willie Mays catch. So that's a defensive highlight right there. Uh-huh. Next is Game 1 of the 1988 Dodgers versus A's series, Kirk Gibson's walk-off homer. So there's
fuck Kirk Gibson.
Yeah, agreed.
So Should have been the Mets.
Some walk-off heroics there. And last is Game 5 of the 1954 Yankees versus Dodgers series, Don Larsen strikes out Dale Mitchell on a weak check swing to end the no-hitter.
The Willie Mays one, that's still the only no-hitter in World Series history, correct?
Yeah, Roy Halladay threw one in, like, the CS, however
many. He threw it in the wild card round, I thought, against the Reds.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. It was really early in the playoffs.
I think, pretty sure it was, like, the first game of the playoffs, and Doc Halladay just showed up, like, no.
That was stupid like that.
You're not going on, sorry.
No, we're not doing this. Fuck Kirk Gibson, so trade. Promote the no-hitter and extend the Willie Mays catch, right?
That's what I did.
Yeah, same.
I think I'm extending the no-hitter, guys. Like, throwing a no-hitter in a World Series game is nuts. Don Larsen wasn't even – he didn't even have it like that. Like, he was a good player, but, like, Willie Mays was, like, an amazing player doing an amazing thing, right? Mm-hmm. But Don Larsen is, like, that's baseball, dude. That's, like – that's like the kind of journeyman. Like, he wasn't always a Yankee. He kind of bounced around, and he was a good pitcher. Throwing a no-hitter in a World Series game, like, could you imagine if
he got, like, lit up in, like, Game 2 or Game 3, whichever one that he played prior, so.
Yeah, like, it's just, to me, like, that's such an amazing feat because that's the other best team. Like you.
It was a perfect game, apparently.
It was a perfect game, right?
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So even then, to pitch a perfect game, which is like one of the rarest feats in the sport anyway, and then to do it on that stage against a team that is good enough to be in a World Series, because even if they're not, like, you know how sometimes teams who are not the best don't make it, but every team that makes a World Series is good. Like, you're not going to be a bad team.
It was the boys of summer Dodgers. They were good. Like,
yeah, exactly.
That's basically the entire Hall of Fame right there on that team.
And it's like, you don't allow a base runner. That's nuts to me. Just like, it'll happen again, I'm sure, because baseball, but it might not happen again for a long, long time.
You guys that want Don Larsen's 1956 stat line?
He was like an average pitcher, right?
Yeah.
38 games, 20 starts, 180 innings, 5.36 K9, 4.81 walks per nine. And somehow that's a 3.26 ERA.
Hey, not too bad.
A 1-1 K to strikeout to walk.
I mean, that ERA then was probably like Jesus. Like,
you suck.
Like, DFA him, you know? Uh-huh. Like, a 3 ERA back then. But I don't know. To me, I always found that to be like a really amazing feat. Just like, could you imagine like Bartolo Colon throwing a fucking perfect game in 2015?
Well, Bartolo Colon did hit a home run. So,
like, if, or like, Dylan G throwing a perfect game in the playoffs. You know what I mean? It's like we would never stop talking about it. And because it happened so long ago and it's Don Larsen and the Yankees who always won, like no one really cares. But I don't know. I find it super wild.
I agree with all of that. And I would have put that as my extent. But then I was thinking about it and I was like, all right, well, these are all individual single plays, like one WPA instance or whatever. So I'm trying now, and I tried then to, like, just, okay, ignore the rest of the game, like, as much as I can, and just focus on that one last batter. And supposedly, it was a very generous call by the umpire because he wanted to officiate the only perfect game in World Series history. So that kind of made me, like, yeah.
Look, at least I'm not on here being, like, the Willie Mays catch is overrated, which is a popular narrative, but...
What?!
Yeah, you've never heard that before? Google that sentence and it'll be all over. People are like, that catch was all right. And I'm
like,
all right.
People know what the polo grounds look like, right?
I don't think they do.
Exactly.
That's precisely why I think it's so incredible, is it's like something that could never happen now.
It might be the best play of all time.
Because we don't do things like play baseball in old polo stadiums anymore.
I found a Reddit thread on our baseball after Googling this from 2017. It has zero upvotes and how many comments? Like,
no, but it's like in articles and stuff too. Like people will be like, the most overrated sports plays in history or whatever. And sometimes that pops up because, I don't know.
The top comment stickied by a mod is, should I ban this guy? Yes, mod. Yes, you should. Ban immediately. Right to jail.
I mean, I don't know. That might be the best defensive play of all time. Like, if we're going to go to the other side, because what the hell, man? Like,
yeah.
To track the ball over your head like that and where it was hit, that's like a home run in literally every other stadium that's ever existed in the sport.
I think that's
up there, too.
Oh, yeah.
That people don't know like what the polo ground looked like is that's going to make people like, oh yeah, whatever. It wasn't that impressive. Like, nah.
Yeah. The polo grounds was hilarious.
I think they should bring it back, get retro and something like that. That would be
the Mets are going to make the polo grounds and just build a team entirely designed to be good there.
Love those like 210-foot home runs down the line over the overhang.
They just get a bunch of speedy gap hitters and tell them to hit inside the park home runs every time they get up.
Oh my god! Imagine Jose Reyes in the polo grounds.
Billy Hamilton.
Oh my god!
Billy Hamilton didn't have the pop to get it into the alley though.
Yeah, that's true.
He'd just end up hitting a lot of singles.
I'm trying to think who the best current player who would be good at the polo. Like,
it might be Starling Marte.
Oh my god! Could you imagine? This Mets team would be really good. Nimmo would hit a bunch of inside the park home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Lindor would hit a few.
Mm-hmm. I mean, hey, they're going to need to, you know, given everything with the lockout, they're going to have to kind of raise morale among fans and bring people back to the game after all this. So what a better way than to make wacky retro kind of stadiums?
The actual answer is probably Trey Turner.
Oh, yeah.
That'd
be fucking disgusting.
I would prioritize center field defense to the point where I don't care if he can't hit, just please be able to run in center field.
Eric Young Jr. would lead the league in home runs.
Oh, like prime EYJ, where he was just like running all over the place.
Good times. All right, well, about 2 weeks ago or so, at the end of the show, we got on a little bit of a tangent about Orioles catcher Jacob Nottingham and how in a better reality in ours, he's actually Jacob Handlebar Nottingham, a Brooklyn Super Buzz superstar enshrined in the Hall of Fame thanks to a .380 slugging percentage, 20 ISO, excellent barehanded.
Both led the league by a wide percent.
Excellent barehanded defense, and of course, the best mustache this side of the Mississippi. So this week we are going to give our top 25 prospects some good baseball nicknames. Obviously, there's a lot of avenues to go down. You can go with the kind of more modern, lazy, you know, A-Rods and the M-Rams and the Ad-Rods and all that kind of stuff. We can go down the avenue of old-timey nicknames like Handlebar Nottingham and High Pockets Kelly and Three Finger Brown, you know, obviously a lot of good ones. And then, of course, Spanish players have a lot of nicknames that are just some sort of phrase or whatever in Spanish. But since it's another language, obviously it sounds cool because we speak English. So we have 25 players. We'll just go down, you know, our prospect list 1 through 25. Obviously, since there's an odd number, 25 is an odd number, we will all do our number one prospect, Francisco Alvarez. So who wants to share their nickname for Alvarez?
Can I admit that I didn't come up with a – before – because I don't want to follow Ken's. Ken's is good. I don't want
to – do I know if mine is good? No.
Ken thinks he's good, and I know mine sucks. I want to get mine out of the way first.
Okay, go ahead.
Complete. So I was watching some, NBA Live on TNT, and I'm like, Francisco Alvarez is pretty short and, let's go with bulky. I wanted to come up with, like, round mound of something, and I never got there. I couldn't figure out the third word.
The round mound Alvarez.
yeah, so that's not bad, actually. I mean, because Charles Barkley was a round mound of rebound. I'm like, round mound of ground? That doesn't make any sense. So someone out there, tweet us a finish to that name. Do my job for me.
That works as it is. That's pretty good, I think. All right, Ken, I mean, yours has been hyped now, so what is yours?
Yeah, I really want to know what Ken's is.
Mine is the Oompa Loompa. His physique has always reminded me of the classic Wonka character. And Oompa instead of Oompa because he hits the ball with a lot of oomph.
Yeah, that is a good
one.
The
only one that I think will get a good reaction.
That is a good one.
Oh my god, we can shut it down. Podcast.
Yeah, you don't even have to really keep going.
Fucking hell. Oompa Loompa.
Oompa Loompa.
That's gonna fit. That's gonna happen. We're gonna make that happen if he's good, Ken.
We need to make that happen.
Oh that my really god.
Good. God damn.
If he ends up good, we have to make it happen.
Oof. I can't even follow that. I feel.
Oh.
Oh my god.
Well, I was gonna say that he is El Elegido, the chosen one. That he's supposed to lead the Mets and hopefully not leave them in darkness, but like other prospects have. But we'll see.
Oh, that's so funny, Ken. That's a good one too, Steve. But it don't even matter.
Yeah.
No, like I don't even care. Like
I'm glad I went first.
Look at this. Look at this right now. Highlight, backspace, goodbye. That's just not even worth keeping.
Always good to tell your audience to look at this in an audio media.
They could hear the click.
Uh-huh.
They could feel my shame.
Oh, boy.
Thomas, what did you have?
So I went, for a lot of these, I went, like, really old school. Like,
all right, that's good, that's good.
Like, you know how they had, like, ridiculous names? They'd be like the Sunshine Boy, because he had, like, blonde hair and dumb stuff like that. So I went with the Wheelbarrow because
he's... The Wheelbarrow.
I like that, actually.
That's a good one.
Because he's, like, short and stout, and I feel like they'd be, like, a big blue-collar worker type vibe, because that is, like, a very Mets thing that they... The fans are not, like, the Yankee fans who are, like, the hidey-toity New Yorkers. That's, like, kind of the vibe of the New York Mets, I always felt. So I feel like that would be a good one to fit the fan base and also him.
That would be a very good one, but unfortunately.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter.
Oompa Loompa, sorry.
Since you said he's short and stout, you could have gone with the teapot, too.
Ooh, that would have been a good one.
Or he could be the teapot dome. There we go. Getting historical up in here.
If they trade him, it will be a scandal.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, man. All right. Well, next up on our list was number two, Brett Beatty. And, Lucas, you had Brett Beatty.
I did?
Yes, you did.
Uh-oh. Did I not copy my whole list? Uh-oh. Well,
Brett Beatty will go on as the man with no name, Brett Beatty.
You know what I just realized I did, Steve?
Mm-hmm.
I copied your list instead of mine.
Nice. All right.
Oh, no. All right. Well, come back
this
to me on
the
Beatty.
Most lockout podcast.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's a shame because I had some good ones for yours. But all right, I'm going to do this on the fly. Come back to me. I'll get this eventually.
All right. So we'll
Lucas,
just give anyone.
Ping the rest of yours into the chat. We'll crowdsource it.
Oh, fuck me. How did I do that? I don't know how that happened.
It happens. It happens.
Well, does anybody have anything for Batty? Beatty?
Nope, I do not. I mean, well, he's Texan. He's kind of dopey looking. No offense if he's listening. Don't hurt me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Odd Brett Beatty.
Big fan. He hits home runs very far. He hits fly balls very far. He hits too many balls on the ground.
Beatty's the thing, though. There's no, like, personality to him yet. Like,
yeah, that's the thing.
Like, he's just a big derp.
Yeah, exactly. Derp, he's just honestly, a big baseball
guy. Let's just call him the big derp and move on.
The big derp.
I'm fine. I honestly like it. I'm okay with that.
I mean, Frank Thomas is the big hurt, so he is the big derp.
Excellent. Excellent.
Wow, Ken, you are 2 for 2.
Ken being a savant at nicknames.
Who would have thought? Who would
you
have
will
thought?
Not be thinking that through the rest of my contributions.
All right, number three is Ronnie Mauricio. So that was mine. Well, Lucas, what do you have for Ronnie Mauricio?
I called him Bird Box because Bird that's Box. His approach at the full plate. He's practically wearing a blindfold.
Mm. Oh, geez. That's
a reference to the Sandra Bullock film, correct?
Yes, correct. Okay. That is one of the weaker ones I had, I admit, but I thought it was in line with my, you know, typical takes on this pod.
So for Ronnie Mauricio, he is La Ballena Blanca, the white whale, because shortstops with all five tools, you know, they are the white whales, and we are prospect watchers always searching for them and obsessed for them, and we go crazy for them, and they never reach the 90th percentile outcome, and we always sink and die on the ship like Captain Ahab.
Oof. Too real.
That got dark quick. Number four. Who had number four? Mark Vientos. And that goes to Ken.
Mark Vientos is the persistent wind. Because, as you pointed out in the chat, Viento is Spanish for wind, and Mark Vientos does not start quickly, but persists as the season gets longer. And let's just all move on.
All right. Talk about a strained metaphor here.
Yes.
At Ken's request, we will move on. Number five is Matthew Allen, and that is Thomas's.
Okay, so Allen with his, I would say, burst onto the prospect scene would, for the Mets at least, would have quickly gained the name Pretty Boy because he was so young at the time. Mm. And he was such like a hotshot pitcher with like his power pitching ways that I feel like people would immediately be like, that feels like a power pitcher nickname from like 1973 where like, the dude, we don't even know if he's actually good, but you're like, you know what, yeah, that fits what he's about. And it so that's like, the first thing I thought of.
It sounds like a power pitcher from 1973 and also sounds like a gangster from 1923.
And yeah, you know
pretty,
what?
Pretty Boy Allen.
Either way, Pretty Boy Allen is soaring to the top of the Mets pitching charts. So
I like it. It's a good one. I like it, yeah. All right, number six is JT Ginn. That was Lucas's, so we will come
this
back.
This is no, this one's a layup. I'm going gin and tonic. Easy.
Okay. Very good.
Not gin and juice?
I thought about gin. So my actual favorite gin drink is a gin Ricky, but that doesn't work as a nickname. Gin and tonic is just better. Like, gin and tonic.
There.
It works.
Gin, good spirit. Like gin. Like gin more than I like the prospect JT Ginn.
All right, number seven is Khalil Lee, and that one goes to Thomas.
This one was tough because, like, I don't know who like the magician, but then you can't do that because that's been done a million times, and like he's not that good of a defender. But like the first thing I thought of was like how everyone gets Mr. nicknames when they're good at like one thing, like Mr. October or stuff like that. I thought Mr. Patience, because that dude just walks like you wouldn't believe. And so, like, he really does play like that, too, with, like, the way he would, like, take pitches and stuff early in at-bats, like we talked about when we talked about him. So, like, he just plays the game that way, kind of, and I feel like his defense is kind of like that, too. So I feel like it's a fun one for him. And if he's good, that would be, like, a fun thing to be like, oh, look how patient he is, like a Nimmo type thing. But his nickname would be, like, Smiley Boy or some shit like that.
Smiley Boy Nimmo.
Prayers up.
All right, number eight is Nick Plummer, which was supposed to be Lucas.
I'm again going for the layup because again, it's just the plumber. He is the plumber.
Nick the plumber.
Yeah, exactly. Like at least among the ones I've had here, these are two layups.
This is for true. Steve, but that is absolutely a 1980s WWF
plumber. Yes. Yep. That's why I said the it plumber. Like that. Nick, the plumber.
And he loses to Hulk Hogan in like 5 minutes on Saturday Night Heat or whatever it was called.
5 minutes? That's longer than I would have thought.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, like 1 minute.
Does the job, brother. All right. Number nine. That was mine, Alexander Ramirez. This one is a little esoteric here. My nickname for Alexander Ramirez is 691267.
Is that his MLB ID so that you know which one he is?
Exactly. Yeah.
You want to hear mine, Steve, because it's a similar vein?
Mm.
You know how that when they do the football intros on Sunday Night Football, the guys say, like, the Ohio State University or whatever. Well, Alexander Ramirez is the Alexander Ramirez.
Yes. For anyone that doesn't know what we're talking about, the Angels have a prospect, Alexander Ramirez, 6'8", 26'4", 3", who is also a toolsy 19-year-old Dominican outfielder who played in A-ball and overall had a pretty good showing for himself, except for striking out a little bit too much. Sounds very familiar. So, whenever you
anyone's this, seen them in the same room?
I mean, it's very true. On two little different coasts, he can be teleporting back and forth, and who would know?
The Mets and Angels sharing a prospect, and like no one knows.
That is like a scheme I could see the Mets and Angels hatching.
Yep,
only it's so Mets cheap.
Be like, what if, guys? We just shared him. He played for both teams, and nobody knew.
We each pay him half.
Exactly.
He goes on the Mets IL. He comes off the Angels IL, and no one ever realized. Like no one looks.
He has to wear glasses in one locale.
Get him the Bobby Valentine fake mustache when he's playing for the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually a switch hitter, but one place he bats right-handed, and one place he bats left-handed all the time.
Now that's good. That's good.
And they're just like, look, he's one's right-handed and one's left-handed. I don't know what you want from me, guys. It's a different person.
That would be a scheme only the Mets and the Angels could see happening.
It's also a scheme from like 1930s, like the Philadelphia Phillies and did that or some shit. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, the fucking like Boston Browns or
yeah, some team that was like that won 10 games. They're just like, nah, he plays for both of them. Just we rent them sometimes. Who cares? There's no laws in these baseball streets out here back then.
That would happen in the Pecos League nowadays.
Oh, for sure.
All right. Yeah, so he was, what was he? He was number nine. So number 10 on our list now is Jalen Palmer, and that goes to Ken.
Nothing really sticking out to me, so I just went the Flushing Freak. because it was freakish athleticism and local origins to the Flushing area.
No.
That would be a thing if he ended up in Queens. He'd have
I actually quite like that.
He's from Canarsie, not Flushing. I hate that.
Okay. Okay. The Canarsie killer.
Okay.
There you go.
I don't know where, like, because he went to Holy Cross.
He was born.
Yeah, he went to school in Queens, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hate that people are just like, yes, he's from Queens. No, goddammit, he's fucking Brooklyn.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. He's ours.
Uh-huh. Please, baseball gods, just teach him how to hit a little bit.
Yeah, please.
Yes, that would be nice. Number 11 now, Hayden Senger. Lucas.
I'm disappointed with my solution for this one. All I've got is Haymaker. That's what I could come up with on the spot. I got nothing.
Haymaker Senger. Listen, this is you're doing exemplary for all these things off the top of your head, so.
There's got to be something better there. Like, if he had more power, I'd be okay with
Haymaker would be one if he
If he was, like, the power and defense catcher, but he's not really that. His power isn't great, so I don't know that that works.
And that makes it ironic. Like, the kids nowadays like irony, right?
Shit. If I come up with something better before the end of the pod, I will share it.
Exactly. There you go. next up is number 12. And who is that? That is... Oh, it's me. Calvin Ziegler. Calvin Ziegler is the Amish ace.
I like that one.
And I did a little, I was looking at, so he's from Heidelberg, Canada, Ontario, Canada, and that was actually settled by the Pennsylvania Dutch in the early 1800s, and it still is like the home of all of the Dutch, all the Amish and all the Mennonites in Canada. And obviously his last name is Ziegler, it's very much a Pennsylvania Dutch name, last name, so I'm assuming he himself is not Amish or Mennonite, but he probably has some ancestors who were, based on the name and the location and everything. So he's the Amish ace.
That's that my much more depressing name for him.
Oh, sure.
Not Kumar Rocker.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know what? I think we should go to break right there. Maybe maybe we'll have some good vibes on the other side.
Let's just fold it all out.
All right. That's, hopefully we have some better vibes on the other side of this commercial here. All right. We are back. I burned some sage. We have cast out all the evil spirits. Lucas is banned.
Oh, shit.
Sheesh.
So, yes, we will continue our nickname-a-thon here with prospect number 13, and that was Eric Orzy, and that is Thomas's.
This one was tough. So, just because, like, it's a reliever, and... I was trying to think, and I was like, relievers usually ooze, like, confidence, and I don't want to give the man the nickname Uzi, because Uzi Orzy, it's too close, but that was the best thing that I came up with for him, because he oozes confidence, and it's horrible. It's very bad, but I like at least one of the other ones that I have left, so I'm okay with this one being bad. I sacrificed for the greater good because I really like one of the other ones.
That's understandable. All right, number 14 now is mine, Jake Mangum. Well, also Lucas's. What do you have for Jake Mangum?
Dr. Mantis Toboggan.
And okay.
Any Sunny fans will understand where I'm going with that.
Mantis Toboggan.
I've got my Magnum Dawn. Anyway.
Well, I don't get it, so.
Don't worry about it, Steve.
Okay.
I'll tell you when you're older.
I heard you kind of muttering Magnum Dawn, and I just don't want to. So I guess I'm better off not knowing. I kind of went old Tommy with him, and he is Gentleman Jake Mangum.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because I think that he's, I mean, honestly, reading a little bit more up on him. Like, he definitely is like a super standard guy. I didn't realize this until like yesterday when I was looking it up, but he had an athletic scholarship that he willingly gave up because he quote, "I was fortunate enough to be from a family where we could afford my college. My mother and my father agreed to it, and I agreed to it because we thought the money could be used for another player." That is some fucking...
He's the leader of men, that Jake, man.
That is, yeah.
He really is.
Yeah.
Every time I hear a story, like, Jake Mangum is a prospect profile I really don't like, and every time I hear a story about him, I like him more.
You know the term your rapper's favorite rapper, your wrestler's favorite. He is your ball player's favorite ball player by far.
I buy it.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. I would absolutely buy him being super popular. Amongst
and he took a blowtorch to the NCAA on his way out the door. So
yep, of course. And again, another stand up thing. He was calling for the NCAA to pay.
I got drafted, so fuck you guys.
Basically,
you suck.
Yeah, basically.
Crazy. All right, 15 now is Adam Aller, who is a Lucas pick.
I've got fucking nothing for this man.
No, we can come back.
All I came up with something about oil. That's literally what I've written down in my text document right here.
Oil.
Oil can, hour. But he's tall, isn't he? So that doesn't really work. I got nothing. This is my fault for copying the wrong list this morning, and I'm sorry.
Hey, it happens. It happens.
Yeah, he's 6'4". I can't call him oil can. That doesn't make any sense.
All right, 16 then is Dominic Hamill, and that one is mine and or Lucas's. Who do you have? What do you have for Dominic Hamill?
That's the guy I had nothing for. Nothing.
Okay. Well, based on like what we were talking about last week with all of his spin rates and everything, Dominic Hamill is Spin Doctor D.
Spin Doctor.
I like it.
Spin Doctor D.
That's quite good, actually.
17. That is Jose Budo, and that is Ken.
I thought of this a little while ago, and it's just made me smile, other than having nothing to do with anything, but Buddha the Loom.
Get him a sponsorship.
Yep. Mm. All right, well, Buddha the Loom. Oh, God, Boots, though. The Mets and Boots do not have a good relationship.
No. Oh, no.
Walking
Ray Ramirez,
Buddha
Ray
the
Ramirez is gone. He can't hurt you anymore.
The trauma never goes away. Speaking of walking away, number 18 is Joshua Walker, and that is Thomas's.
So this one, I think it's good. It's basic because he's so tall and he's left-handed that I just went with the lanky lefty, but he's also 214 pounds. So like, he's not really lanky, but also like, it's hard to get a funny nickname out of like a tall, crafty lefty. And so I just went with like the lanky lefty because I feel like that's something that would actually stick and something people would call him, even though he's not really lanky. People would just kind of let that go. To give him a, yeah. So it's just kind of like it's a fun little boring one. My next one is the one that I'm looking forward to, 'cause I actually like thought about it.
Oh shit. When you think about it and put your mind to it, accomplish anything. Number 19. That is... Who is 19?
Mine.
Yes, that is Thomas Zipucki.
Yep, he is Tommy Slingshot. S-I-E-L.
That is good.
I thought you might go like Alphabet 2.0. Calling back to Mark Shepsinski or whatever the hell his name was.
Oh, yeah, Repshinski.
Scrabble's a good one for him.
Yeah. I like Slingshot.
Slingshot, that's
Slingshot,
good.
Slingshot, okay. Yeah.
That's because, obviously, the SZ, and then also his pitching motion is very slingy.
It's very slingshotty, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, here we go. Here's 20, Brian Matuyer.
Okay,
what do you got, Thomas?
For this one,
oh boy!
Imagine if he got transported back in time. And
okay.
He kept all the, like, we're talking like 1930s, right?
Okay.
And he kept all of his current arm talent, so he throws like 97, and he has like the big curveball. And they're like, oh, this ball comes in like a meteor. And they're like, oh, that's perfect.
I'm leaving.
And that's...
But that's what would happen, so...
Exactly. That's the perfect, like, old nickname for a guy who threw hard and had a big breaker. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, it comes in, like, as fast and hard as a meteor. What do we call him? And then he's just the meteor. And then he goes to win 8 Cy Youngs. Because, I guess, it's the Cy Young at that point. He goes to win all of them in a row.
Well, that was back in the day when the curveball didn't actually exist. It was like
exactly he invented it.
Exactly.
They just call it the meteor. It just like changes the entire. It's like, you know, when you go back in time and you mess everything up, and then it changes the future. Everyone just starts calling them the meteors, like those pitches.
What if he goes too far back in time to when the curveball was an illegal pitch?
Then he gets burned at the stake like a witch. I don't know.
Well, that works too.
Oh no!
Then he's the magician.
The magician McGuire.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, 21 now is Junior Santos, and Junior Santos goes to Ken.
He is El Segundo Mas Larga, the tall junior.
That is very true.
That is literal. Now that's a nickname.
Ken is fucking killing these, man.
It really is.
It helps if you have no shame.
He is Muy Largo. He is El Segundo. It all works.
Oh, boy.
Can't argue with that. 22 now, Travis Blankenhorn, which was Lucas's.
All right, so stick, because I actually had a nickname for him because I own him in my very complicated fantasy league. I really want Travis Blankenhorn to be a successful reserve infielder who's a late-inning power bat off the bench. So I dug into Norse mythology, and I came up with the Gjallarhorn.
Whoa, okay, that's a good one.
That's what Heimdall blows at the end of time to signify the final battle. So when Blankenhorn walks up to the plate in the ninth inning and you need a double to win the game, you're blowing the Gjallarhorn.
That's such a good nickname for a closer, too.
I had the same thought, and I couldn't find anyone to stick it on.
Yeah, this you need the horn part. So All he needs to do is, for the podcast and content, convert to being a pitcher.
And then become a good one and supplant Edwin Diaz. And
how hard could it be, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, come on, he's just throwing a ball.
Mm-hmm. Number 23. That is Carlos Cortez.
Oh, okay. So, you know how when he was first coming up, he was kind of a weird prospect because, like, he played the infield and the outfield and did it with, like, two different hands and, like, all that crazy stuff?
Mm-hmm.
So he's the handyman.
Oh, the handyman.
Because you could put him anywhere. Lucas just dies in disappointment. You could put him anywhere back then. Like they don't really do that anymore. You could put him anywhere, and like he's able to like use both of his extremities in different ways. So he's the handyman.
It's simple. It works.
And if like he makes it, he'd be a utility guy. He wouldn't be a starter. So he would be fixing the holes in the lineup as the handyman.
It works. That's all that matters.
Good one. It'd be better if he was actually a good defender.
Oh, yeah. It would be perfect if he was.
I mean, if he was, then he would actually have some value, so.
Yep.
Then I'd be calling him the handyman in the prospect reports and having people like, who the hell is the handyman?
Exactly.
You just got to figure it out.
Someone you figure it out. Just link to this episode.
Yeah. Every time.
All right. 24. Who is 24?
Levi David.
Yes, Levi David. Lucas, what do you have for Levi David?
I was so happy with this one, too. He throws a curveball. His name is Levi David. Curve your enthusiasm.
Oh, okay. I had a similar vein. He is Jewish, most likely, and he has the curveball. He is the probably sixth or seventh incarnation of the Hebrew hammer.
There you go.
That might be the first pitcher one, though.
Yes, that actually, you know, someone that is possibly of Hebrew origin and actually has a hammer. Because the other ones are Hank Greenberg, Al Rosen, I think sometimes they called Ryan Braun, but I don't think that really stuck. But obviously, all positions.
Yeah.
Anytime we have these discussions about Jewish baseball players, the only thing I can think of is that scene from Airplane. You have anything light? You know, this pamphlet, Jewish sports stars. Anyway.
Oh, Lucas is going to get us canceled.
Again?
God damn it. Although at this point, maybe it's putting us out of our misery, so it might be better. Well,
can you tell we miss baseball fans?
Last but not least is number 25, Robert Dominguez. Ken, that's all you.
The Dominguez-inator.
The Dominguez-inator.
Oh, my God.
It works. It flows.
Nope,
it...
No logic, no nothing. Just
Dominguez-inator. I'm here to Dominguez-inate you. What does that mean?
Don't worry about it.
Don't think too hard about it.
You'd be thinking like more than I did coming up.
I feel like that's one of those nicknames that would just happen, and everyone's like, yeah, you're the Dominguez-inator. And no one ever asks why.
Uh-huh.
No. Like, yeah, come on. I mean, that's what he Dominguez-inates. Like, what do you want from him?
We really should have gone bottom to top, because holy shit, nothing was as good as Oompa Loompa.
Yeah, no, like, we just should have just basically, I'm just going to erase all this, and it's just going to be like, 40 minutes of silence.
We all have to think about how bad we did after Ken just nailed it from the literal start.
Oompa Loompa. This is going to be one of those things that you think about in the middle of a meeting or like at your desk at work, and you just start giggling to yourself and everyone around you looks at you like you're fucking insane. And they're like, what are you laughing at? And you can only say,
yeah.
He's going to make it in a few years, and all of us are going to be like, it's him. And everyone's
it's the Oompa Loompa.
And everyone's going to be like, okay, what are you talking about?
I'm going to be writing a recap headline and title it Oompa Loompa, and Brian's going to edit it and be like, what the fuck is this? What does this mean?
See, that's why we're getting in the ground floor now. We're giving the nicknames to all these guys. So that way, you know. You know, in like 5 years, maybe there could be a Dominguez-inator Oompa Loompa battery.
Oh, no.
Think about it.
It's possible.
I don't want to.
It is possible.
And then Travis Lankenhorn, who converted into a closer at the age of like 30, is.
Oh, I'm gonna spend the rest of my like baseball fan life hoping for a Scandinavian or German closer of some form, so I can bust out this nickname again.
Do you have Alvarez on your fantasy team, anyone?
I do not.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, there goes, you know, naming your fantasy team. You could always pick up Dominguez. I'm sure he's available.
He almost certainly is.
The Dominguez-inators. All right, so, yeah, I mean, I wish the lockout was over. This is the kind of content that we're going to be getting.
And there's literally no baseball.
Yeah.
Rob Manfred, we will continue to send these podcasts to you until you acquiesce to the players' demands.
Exactly. So everyone out there, I know that you, I mean, if you're still listening, which if you are, you are amazing people. I mean, you should have probably hung up as soon as Oompa Loompa came out of Ken's mouth. If you're still listening, though.
Stop.
If you're still listening, though, again, God bless you, and complain to Rob Bamford, because next week, you know, we can reach into even deeper levels of the dark psyche that is contained within all of us, and you're probably not going to like that.
This is extremely his fault and his fault alone.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Also, like Chris and Brian, partially, for giving us this ability to spout this nonsense.
Uh-huh. They spent so much time thinking about if they could, they didn't stop to think if they should. And here we are.
Exactly. Well, yeah, so if anyone has any questions, I mean, if you have questions about this, don't send us questions about this, because we really can't justify any of it. But if you have any comments, go ahead.
If you have any nicknames, also.
Yeah, also, if you have your own nicknames, you can tweet us those. That'll be a good tweet. Or in the comment section, obviously. Email address from complexscreens@gmail.com. Twitter is at Steve Seipa for me. LVlahos343 for Lucas. Ken is KenLavin91. And Thomas is at SadMetSeason, SZN. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast from. Rate and review it. And, of course, we thank you for listening. And we'll be back next week. And I don't know if you want that, but we will. So until then, love the Mets. Love the Mets.